My name is Yanni, and I have the incredible privilege to pastor this family church with my wife Kat, who was up earlier. And the last few days have been incredible. Sorry for me tearing up a little bit, but God is so faithful. God is so good, and I'm just going to pray this morning. Father God, we just thank you so much, Lord, for who you are. Lord, you blow us away with your goodness and your love and your mercy and your forgiveness. And Father, I thank you that you are not a distant God that is far away and not interested in our lives, but you're personal, Lord. And you come and you dwell amongst us, Lord. Your Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. And we just thank you for the privilege that it is to gather together here this day, Lord, to hear from you, Lord. And Lord, we're going to hear a little bit later on, Lord, of what you've been doing in people's lives, Lord. Because you are so personal and you love us so much. You know how many hairs are on our heads, Lord. You know the hurts and the pain in our heart. You know the desires in our hearts too, Lord. You placed them there. And we just want to thank you, Father. We want to thank you that it's not about us, Lord. It's not about our faithfulness, Lord. It's about who you are and who we are in you. So we thank you that we are sons and daughters, Lord. We are your children. But not only that, Lord, we are your co-heirs to Christ. With Christ, we are seated in heavenly places. So this morning, Lord, as people share from their lives about what you've been doing for them and how you've been changing them, Lord, I pray that everybody who sits here this morning, Lord, shall have their hearts open, ready to receive. Lord, I know that there's people here struggling with all sorts of things, Lord, and people here who are so gleeful with what you've done. So I pray, Lord, that these words will be encouraging and healing and building up, Lord. And Lord, these words are not from our mouths, Lord. We just pray for anointing over the people who are going to share, Lord, and we pray that their words will be like arrows into our hearts, Lord, because it is your word that never returns void, Lord. So Lord, as it says in your Bible, we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. In this church, we have what we call a spiritual growth series. There's five of them, 1 to 5. And it's not 5 steps to heaven or 5 steps to be a good person. It's 5 steps to grow in your relationship with God. They start off very basically. Foundation 1, which we run often in this church, is the foundations of the biblical Christian faith. And I encourage those who haven't done it to do it. We cover things like salvation, Holy Spirit, water baptism, what to do once you're a Christian, like read the Bible and pray. Foundation 2, which is community, talks about us as a community church. And this last week, we did Foundation 3, which is called Legacy. And as you can hear by the name, it deals with things of the past, legacy, things carried through your life, through your family. And there were quite a bunch of us who went through. We actually did it in combination with our sister church in Stellenbosch, because it's nice to do it with a group of people, and it's nice for us to connect with our family churches, Stellenbosch being part of our region. And there are 3 parties that get incredibly blessed when you do something like Legacy Foundation 3. And I'm going to let people who did it this last week, it runs over 3 nights, or three days. It's a Wednesday night, a Friday night, and a Saturday. Kat and I had the privilege of facilitating, because you sit in a group like this, not as many people, watch some DVDs, and then you go for personal ministry. There's little small groups. In my particular group, there was 2 facilitators, me and another man of God, and 2 participants. That's the people who are participating in the... Also men of God, yes. Almighty men of God, encouraging each other and praying for each other. That's really what it was. And as I say, there's three parties who get blessed. The first one is me. I get blessed. I go and facilitate, and I go serve. And you think, people say to me, oh, it must be such a hassle for you to drive over the mountain. How many times have you done this? Every time. Every single time I facilitate foundations, God does something in my heart. God shows me something. God shows me visions. He uses me in a powerful way. I spent probably 12 hours praying in the last, over those 3 days. Now, let me tell you, I don't normally spend 12 hours praying in 3 days. And when you do that, something shifts in your spirit. You can't help it. It's a supernatural thing. So, I'm the first party that gets blessed. All the people who facilitate, because the Word of God says, you know, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And right now, I'm just going to ask is Faith here? I'm going to ask Faith to start because she asked if she could share. And if there's anybody who wants to share after Faith, is Cece here? Okay, I know Cece and Faith I've spoken to. They're both going to share. But I'm going to leave it open for whoever else wants to share what happened to them on Foundation 3 in this last week. So we're going to start with Faith. Thank you,
Faith. Good morning, everyone. I'm very happy to stand before you because all along I was like, I don't want to stand in front of people because of my language. I was ashamed of my language. I couldn't speak well. But because of this Foundation 3, the Lord delivered me and take away that shame. And today I can stand in front of you. I'm not fearing anything. I'm not ashamed of anything. I'm very happy today. And the Lord was so faithful to me. And I couldn't sleep tonight. And the Lord was keeping on. He had I don't understand what he was trying to do to me. And I was like awake and praying. I said, oh Lord, I don't want to do my all-night prayer alone here. And it was so powerful, you know. And you know, when I was there, the Lord was showing me the things which happened long back ago when I was very young, when I was maybe 8 years, 6 years. And those things, when I received Jesus Christ, I didn't know I was supposed to bring them to the Lord. But because of this F3, they helped me and I managed to bring those things to the Lord. And every secret sins, you know, the Holy Spirit was so powerful. And the facilitators was so good. They encouraged me so much. Then I managed to say everything. No more secret sins in my life. And I also go home. I also go home to tell my family what I take and what I bring home for them. And I have time with my husband and talk to him. And the Lord was so good. And the things that I did, he didn't know. And I tell him everything. And he was like upset. And he said to me when he couldn't sleep and past one, he was awake. I know he was awake, and I was also awake. And I was like praying. I was praying. I learned that I must pray in tongues because I didn't know what to pray. Because I was praying in tongues, and the Lord says to me, touch him, touch him. Then I put my hand to him. He didn't respond. Then I said, oh, he didn't respond. It's okay. Then I take away my hand, and I wait. Then I put again my hand and he responds. And I said, I love you, darling. Because that word, I heard I must say that word. And it helps him so much. And he managed to tell me that he was, it hurts him. And he was crying the whole night. I said, oh, you cry for me. You love me so much. It was so good. I was very happy. I was happy that he loved me, that he can cry for me. Oh my goodness, God is good, you know. And when I go home, first thing I started to pray before I do anything. I do the cookings for my family. I start to pray that the devil cannot take away what I receive. Then when I was praying, the Lord told me that I must come to the intercession in the morning. Then I was there in the morning, And I see people were there, those people who are going to testify today. And I said, oh, Lord, so you know, I was supposed to be there. So I thank God for this F3. If you didn't do it, please do it. I encourage you. God did a miracle in my life. And take everything away, which was blocking me. And I get saved long back ago. It's not now. It's long back ago. But you know what was in me? It was ignorance. And the word of God says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. That was in me. And because of this F3, the Lord helped me. And I love it so much, people, because in our home cell, my sisters, they love us so much. They love us so much. I see the love of God through you. And keep on doing it. It's doing a lot of things in our lives. Thank you so much.
Amen. That is seriously a deliverance right there. As Faith said, she would have this incredible fear to speak in front of public. Even in small group, she was... I've never heard her pray out loud. This morning she was praying out loud, very confident. And as you see now, that is just a miracle from God. Cece, I'm going to ask you to come up. None of this is scripted by me. This is just what God... We are so excited about what God's doing.
Good morning, church. I went to the Shofar conference, and at that conference, I felt the Lord calling me to Shofar and renewing my calling to Africa. So I, in obedience, decided to do the foundation workshop. So I've done F1, F2, then I did F3. And I mentioned to Yanni that I'm 54 years old, and what I learned at the conference was new information for me. Some of it was the same. God bless Faith, because I appreciate that deliverance is everything. But it's about the covenant relationship that we have with that God has for us, for each one of us. And it's the spiritual foundation with the Holy Spirit. It's like a structure. It puts a name on things. And a structure that puts it in place that shows us one more time God's divine order. And His order is so perfect. So I've been kind of racing around doing the work of the Holy Spirit in my own way, trying to achieve the same result. But it's at a higher and a deeper level. And I am I'm looking forward to F4. And I am just so blessed. It just makes so much sense, and the covenant relationship, the covenant relationship. If anyone has not gone to this, I encourage you to do so. There's something new in it for everybody, just like Yanni said. Thanks.
Just before we carry on with the F3 testimonies, I know Andre's definitely got one, so he can come up. Andre? Actually, I'm just going to hand over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. so I was actually shaking from last night when we left there yesterday afternoon. I had this feeling like I was out of breath. You know, it was so many things happened, and the Lord He just revealed so much to me. And it was from repentance in the first instance. I repented of so many things, and then we went on to forgiveness, and I could forgive so many people. And from the DVDs we saw, it's and our facilitators also told us that we needed to get onto the same place. We need to repent first before we can forgive someone, and that meant a lot to me. And after that, it's repentance, forgiveness. The Lord took away all my shame, and I confessed last week, and I repented to God when Lucille was here. That shame that I had was taken away just like this. And I actually went to see my ex-girlfriend last night, and she forgave me for everything that I did. And and after that, the Lord just also, I felt He raised me to be the strong man of our house, and also to be a an agent, or what's that? A redemptive agent for us and for the young people in Verliesdorp. And also just on a personal note, Fred told us about you're either sitting under one of two trees. You're either sitting under the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or you're sitting under the tree of life. And that was so true in my life. You know, I've been trying to impress everybody all my life, you know, just to get someone's love through performance, and not just by the covenant relationship. And I think it was the same with God. And they just showed me over this weekend what it really means to be in a covenant relationship. And yeah, it was just such a big blessing and such a big revelation. Now I just praise the Lord for everything He's done.
Is there anyone else who did F3 that would like to share?
Good morning, everybody. I just want to say, the Lord says in His Word, He says, confess your sins to one another. But the devil always tells us, you can't do that because people is going to judge you for that and keep it against you. But you know, there's so much freedom in that when you say out loud your sins that you've done. And that's what the devil wants to stop us from doing, is to say it out loud. God says, confess it and you'll be free. And that's all I wanted to say, is just thank you for that. It was good.
Is there anyone else? Thomas.
Morning, church. I think I'm the last one. I'm sure I'm not the last one. I must admit I've got a problem of stage fright, just as Faith was saying. So I hope the Lord is going to help me. First of all, I thank God for the privilege that I got, to participate in the F3 Legacy Foundation that was taking place in Stellenbosch on Wednesday evening, Friday evening, and Saturday. I also learned quite a number of things, and the first thing that I learned was that the purpose of the foundation was to bring holiness, fullness and completeness of the inner person, the spiritual life. It also emphasized on the fact that we must take our position in our spiritual life to ensure that we are the sons and daughters of God, so that we can afford to get a blessings from the Lord. Thank you so much. That's what I learned.
Hi. I was going through some of the records the other day, and I saw that some of you did foundations back in 2007. Now, I just want to encourage you, if that really is the case, I've done foundations a couple of times, and please don't feel that you've done it now and moved on and that's all, you know. I encourage you. This is life-changing stuff. And you know what? There's always stuff in our lives that we need to work through. And these foundations are a really, really good place to do that. So I encourage you, if you've done it before, but you really feel like this, the shame has returned. You know, the enemy always comes. He's called the accuser. But if you're feeling that you need to do again, please, we're starting the cycle again as of early next year. I think we're going to do foundation 1 and 2 now. And Yanni, I think, will let us know when the next 3 and 4 will be. But please do it again. Do not feel that you've done it once and, you know, you're not in a place, you've moved on from there. That is if you're feeling in your life that it's a need. Okay.
I just want to add to that. What happens in Foundation 3 is you get taught how to deal with these things in your life. And God is so gentle, and He's so loving, and He's so kind that He deals with what you can handle at that particular moment. Not everything in your life. Some of us have walked long, long years, others not so long. But what you will find happen is that maybe tomorrow or next week or next month or next year, God is going to bring something else to your mind or to your heart that you need to maybe repent of or ask for forgiveness from. But what you get taught in those 3 days, it's very simple. It's about bringing it into the light before God. So you don't need to do Foundation 3 100 times. But we encourage you to do it at least once. At least once. I know there's a lot of people who have done it, but I want to tell you where the additional blessing comes from. What I said was the first party who gets blessed was me. To facilitate it and get used by God, to see Him work. We saw miraculous changes. People who physically came in heavy, with even dark faces, left with a shining light face. It was absolutely incredible. And it's just so amazing to see the Lord work, because it's not about us. Let me tell you, it's not about us. So anyway, there's a third party. So first of all, there's the people who facilitate get blessed. The people who participate get blessed. The third person who gets blessed is God. He gets blessed because you come into a closer relationship with Him. And I know that I want to bless God. And I know that everybody in this room wants to bless God. So we're not going to, I'm not going to say anything more about F3. But why it actually fits in quite nicely is we have our Thanksgiving service this morning. And for those of you who haven't been to a Thanksgiving service, it's a little bit different to a normal preach service where someone brings a message. We've asked people in our congregation to bring forward testimonies of what the Lord has been doing in their lives. Because I stand up here, and Kat stands up here, and sometimes it's Dale or Derek. And we stand up here, whoever's bringing a word, sometimes Johnny in Afrikaans. Thank you, Johnny. Because I don't speak Afrikaans. And we have the mic, and we're always expressing to you in front of us what God is doing in our lives, how incredible He is, how amazing He is, how He's helping us and delivering us and all these amazing things. But He's working in every single life out here, every single person out here. Everybody's got a testimony. God is working in all of our lives. So this morning, we're going to ask four people to come up and share what God is doing in their lives. So I'm going to ask Sunette to start, please.
Good morning. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Sunette and I'm married to David Anger. I just want to testify about God's goodness in my life and His faithfulness. And this is just a short testimony that happened a while back. Before the Lord blessed me with a wonderful job at Pixel House as a designer, which I love, I had this other job as a sales representative, and you're in French Hook, and it was at a jewelry store, as a sales representative, and for me that was very unsatisfying. And I had the opportunity to upgrade, just career-wise and salary-wise and satisfactory-wise. And that also meant I had to move to Cape Town. So it was basically, it was a big deal. And I had all the reason to go for that, and it seemed, basically, it seemed to be a better career move for me at that time, but in the back of my mind, I was just thinking that this decision will have a ripple effect in my life, and that was not me thinking, that was basically the Holy Spirit just telling me. And so I consulted the Lord, and I spent a huge amount of time in His Word and in His presence and just seeking His voice and, just spending a lot of time with Him and, just consecrating my life basically to Him and, just everything. And, I was just practicing that scripture, draw unto me and I will draw near to you. Near to you, and God was faithful, and the result was I chose according His will by the grace of God, and not according my will for my life, and I didn't choose the better looking job in Cape Town, with peace in my heart, and I just knew this is where he wanted me, and yeah, there and then, and I was more than fine with that, and just by being faithful to God and trusting in him, by his grace, I just reaped all his good promises, and that he had for me, and spending those quiet times with him and receiving all those promises in scripture and everything. I continued working at the jewelry store and as a sales representative, and for a year and a half basically, and it flew by like crazy, and God just blessed me with he just blessed me after that with a wonderful job, and that I love now completely, and and basically blessed me just after that. Everything just happened and abundantly, and he blessed me with a husband and everything. So that was basically an intro to a lot of scriptures that I can share with you afterwards if you, felt something out of that.
Well, we know Franschhoek is a bit of a transient town. People come and go, but we're glad you're still here, so thank you. Leonard, will you come up, please? Thank you.
Okay, good morning. Good morning. Firstly, I just want to thank God for, just this opportunity to share with you his goodness. We serve a living God. I just want to thank you. He's a faithful God. I'm just going to give you a little bit of a background, to my testimony. I came from Zimbabwe in 2008, in June. And the amazing thing is that it was at a time when there was some xenophobia attacks on foreign nationals, and I wondered why the Lord said, now move to South Africa, and everybody else was running away from South Africa, and I felt the Lord say, go to South Africa, and I had to leave leave my family and my son. And I came and I stayed in a place called Philippi in Cape Town. It's a pretty rough place to live. But the Lord led me there, and I saw his faithfulness and his goodness. It's easy for us to testify about the things that we see him do in our lives. I experienced divine protection from the Lord. But I was just being reminded again of Psalm 91, where he talks about him delivering you from the snare of the fowler. And he says, from the arrow that flies by day. I mean, there are things that happen that you are not aware of, but God protects you. So I stayed in Philippi from June until December of 2008 before I moved to Paul. One day I was coming from work in the evening. I was working for a flour milling company, and we had 2 7-hour shifts, so which meant one would work from basically 7 to 7. So I was walking home from work at night along Lansdowne Road, And I was just going over the bridge. There's a train bridge. And as I was walking, I suddenly saw a group of about 10 youngsters coming towards me. And they had knives, screwdrivers, everything. And suddenly there they were about 5 meters away from me. I remember so clearly, I had no time to think. Somehow just the Lord made me to look backwards and I saw cars coming. And I just felt a prompting in my heart that I had to run across the street. But then there was a guy who was walking in front of me. And we'd walked quite a distance together, but he was just in front of me. We weren't talking to each other. And I thought, you know, he's also probably heading in the same direction that I'm heading. And suddenly this guy turned around and then he scooped me and I fell right in the middle of the road. And I hit the tire with the back of my head, so I was kind of dizzy. And when I turned, I saw cars coming. And in my mind, I just say to myself, this is it. This is the end. Because those vehicles were moving pretty fast. And there's a group of youngsters. And as I fell, for me, I had come face to face with death. And I knew this guy is probably just going to run me over because it was a very short distance. And then the next thing I heard, the brakes. And when it stopped, I looked up and I saw the vehicle's tire was like there. And I got up, and this was a taxi. And normally with taxis, they would probably just run you over, you know. They won't think twice about it. But for me, what I learned is that the very thing that I thought was going to kill me is what God used to deliver me. And I remember I was so fearful for about a week or so. I struggled, you know, just walking to work or to the shops. I couldn't trust anybody. I was so enveloped with fear that I could not trust anybody. I found it difficult even to go outside of my own house. But I just want to say, God is faithful. He led me here and He brought me here. And I know that there is no weapon whatsoever that the enemy has formed or fashioned against me that can prosper. And I just want to thank God for that. And there are so many things that He delivers us from. And most of the times we're not even aware of it. But He does it. And He loves us. He called us. He has a plan and He has a purpose. And I thank God for that. Amen. Amen.
Leonard, the Lord has big plans for you. It clearly wasn't your time to go. We look forward to walking that road with you. I'm going to ask our good friend George to come up now.
God is great.
Amen. Amen.
And praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us to this wonderful place. Franschhoek is really a wonderful place. And all the people that are here, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. My story goes back. I originate from Zimbabwe. I was born in a place called Bulawayo. And we grew up in a Greek Orthodox environment. My mother was the strong one in the family. She kept us together. We progressed in our journey through life, growing up in a very good environment and doing the right things, you know, what was brought down from our parents. And I'm truly grateful for that because family is the strong point in any unity. as I progressed, I moved from Zimbabwe and I landed up in Johannesburg. A lot of my upbringing and that, when you get to your 20s and that, you feel that you're much stronger and you can do things better. You don't have to listen to anybody. It's just a process we all go through. And we forget. But we have to prove ourselves. There I lost the Lord. I went on a path that basically had a money meaning. And it was just about chasing money and getting, achieving things and just saying, yeah, I'm great, I'm powerful. But we put the Lord away. We put him in some cupboard far away. He was the furthest away from me. We did a lot of things and we just had a big rush. We just worked and said, but that was a false feeling. You know, there was something that wasn't right about it. So, but anyway, we still have to carry on our journey because our journey is long. I got married and I had a beautiful daughter, Kara. Thank you, Lord. But then again, you know, in my marriage, there wasn't structure. And God was missing from there. Sorry. And it was difficult to understand and say, you know, what is the purpose? Do we all know purpose? We go into things, but we don't know. But it's a binding. Where do we bind ourselves? Anyway, again, the money issue was always the dominant. You know, we have to prove ourselves. We have to go out and make money. But cracks start appearing. It's like a unity, like a vase. And then you start getting cracks. And I'll tell you what, there's no glue in the world that you can go and buy. God was missing. God was the glue. And it all fell away. I landed up in Franschhoek, 1996. Again, business was my dominant motivation. Family was somewhere down the line, and God was right at the back. But I knew there was God, because even in my businesses, when there was difficulties, he came to me, you know, he was faithful. He never, you know, he was there, but I didn't acknowledge him. But my businesses were very successful. The people know me. I've been here 16 years. I started with a quick spa, and I landed up with a big spa. But the purpose, there was no purpose. There was an emptiness. It wasn't complete. You know, even though you had so much money, you had everything going for you, there was something that wasn't there. And I had to find out the hard way. My divorce, my wife left me. The divorce process started. And things just started to crumble. Going back to the cracks. God wasn't there. And I sold the big spa. People wanted it. I don't know, there was a purpose, but God was still looking after me. I know that. Because when I had everything invested in that big spa. And when it sold, it was August 2005. In November 2005, God hit me again. He said to me, I'm taking your health away. The most saddest time in my life. I had money. I had friends, lots of friends. But something wasn't there. God wasn't there. I repent today, God, for not putting you first in my life. And forgive me for this, for I know better today. Praise the Lord. I got ill. I ran a marathon. And after the marathon, my right finger was getting numb. It was pins and needles. I said, what's this? What's this all about? I'm strong. I'm invincible. I've got everything. I have nothing. It progressed. I went to the doctor the next day. It was still persisting. Said to me, no, it's an old injury. Let's do further tests. Again, it was persisting. Now the numbness is moving down my arm. I went to Tiger Valley to the CT scan, and I was there the whole day. People, the doctors that looked at me, and they were just didn't understand why I was still standing. They found that there was this malformation of blood vessels in the front of my neck and at the back. And they didn't understand, you know, what's this all about? It's something completely new to them. But this evil thing, it was in me. And it was crippling me. It was destroying me. After 2-3 weeks, I had to go to the UCT hospital in Cape Town. Again there, they never seen this thing. Eventually they diagnosed that it was an AVM. An AVM is a blood malformation where the arteries join with the veins. They're not supposed to be doing that. And it happened in my neck. This AVM eventually started to wrap itself around my spinal column. This, within 2 months, I was wheelchair bound. A hard time in my life. And very difficult. I was elevated to the tops, what I thought was the tops, and I was brought down again with a bang. Everything is lost. I lost my family. The only people that came to me, I had many friends before that, but few came to me at that time. I don't know, maybe it's something they don't like to be associated with sick people or ill people. But that said, because that was a time when you were in desperation. You needed people. Thanks to my daughter, my father and mother. They stood by me with pillars of strength. Thank you, God. Anyway, I progressed. I just went downhill from there. From January 2006 till about July 2007. I had 18 operations. In 18 months, I had 15 operations to try and correct what was not right there. And every time, the doctors were just trying. It was all experimental. But I said to myself, you know, this is something serious. And as it progressed into like the 11th, 12th operation, I couldn't take it anymore. I said, no, Lord, I knew you was there, but I didn't know what purpose he was there for. I said, please take me, you know, I can't take this anymore. But he didn't want to take me. He had purpose for me, but I didn't know at the time. Praise the Lord. Eventually, the last two operations, they managed to stop this evil thing that was in my neck. But when I came out of it, I was completely paralyzed. Just my head was in operation. I could talk. I was in great pain. But I was just a head. There was nothing else that was working in my body. And I said again, why do these things happen? But God knows why. And it was about 10 days afterwards again, I said, no. In that 10 days, I said, no, why am I living? You know, please give me something. Just take me away. No, God had a purpose for me. On the 10th day, early one morning, he sent 3 messengers down to my bed. it was something that I've never experienced in my life. And they said to me, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." I immediately was in like a shock. I didn't know what was this happening. Was it an illusion? Was it a dream? Or was it real? Immediately thereafter, the finger that went for the first time started to shake uncontrollably and start moving up and down, up and down. That was God's signal. He said to me, "No, George, you're not supposed to die. Even though you just got your head and now your finger that's moving, there's something happening. Take it." So I called the doctors the next morning when they came to visit me. I said, "No, you have to keep working with me. You have to, you know, we have to have the faith and just keep working with me." They started to manipulate me, but inside with those messengers, a light was lit, a small little light, a little candle. And that gave me my inspiration that I know God again, He's faithful. He didn't let me down. Praise the Lord. We progressed. It was the toughest time in my life. It was hard. It was trying. The family was always in tears. I give great thanks to my mom. My mom was there at my side 24 hours. The doctors used to tell her, "No, go home." She wouldn't go. She was equipped with the Bible. She used to pray to me every day, every night. And she is my Savior. The Lord is my Savior. But through my mother, I really praise my mom. Thank you, Lord. So my journey continued in the hospital. I spent another 8 months. But inside me, I knew every day. I knew the Lord is there, you know, and he's strengthening me. Because why didn't he not let me just go? What was the purpose? You know, I should have gone. The doctors looked at me and they said, "Your chances of surviving was less than 5%. Now, it's an amazing how I just worked my way through that. Anyway, my strength came back to me. And I eventually left the hospital after 8 months. I could get out of the, I could walk on a walking frame, but I couldn't carry on for more than 20 meters or so. But I carried on. I went back to my home and back to my parents' home. Then there was something missing. I knew God was there now because He showed me that He's there and He's not going to let me go. But I didn't know how to approach Him because I was limited in trying to communicate with the Lord. So when my daughter used to take me, we used to go through to the Pall Mall. I was in the wheelchair. We went past this religious bookstore that's down by the telecom shop. I said, "No, take me into the. I want to go into here." And there I got my first Bible. It is. Praise the Lord again. He never lets us down. When we seek Him, we'll find Him. And then I started to read. I had religious instruction at school and at the church, at the Greek Orthodox, but I didn't know how to approach God. Everything was told down to me. That was the communication. It was a one-way communication. But when I needed to ask for things, I didn't know how to do that. But I started reading the Bible. And a lot of passages started to come through. But I had to read it 2-3 times. I had all the time in the world because I was just at home getting rehabilitated. But by reading the Bible every day, I was getting stronger and stronger. My father used to take me for walks. I don't know. I think many people used to see me on the road. But he was building me up again. And I thank him for that. Sorry. So, like I said, everybody here has got purpose. We're in Franschhoek. It's a place, it's a lovely place. And it has lovely people. And all our paths connect and crisscross. But it has meaning and purpose. And I want everybody to know that. And this is where, Yanni, we have common ground. We both come from Zimbabwe. We both love the gym. We cycle. But the main thing is that we have God in common. Amen. And He led me to this church, this congregation, to my brothers and sisters here. Praise Him. Amen. Glorious. I'm here today in testimony to all of you that I'm living, I'm strong, and I'm reborn. And I just want to read a few things here in my scriptures. I'm here at Shofar Church now. This is where I belong. This is my home. Isaiah 43:1. I've called you by your name. You are mine. George, language of origin. I'm Greek and I'm proud of it. Inherent meaning is a land worker. Spiritual connotation, I walk with God. The scripture, Matthew 9:37. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I choose to believe in the truth. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and all that He has given me. I, the Lord, I trust and give my life unconditionally. Again, scripture, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For John 3:16. For God loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God is good, our love, and His love towards us is unconditional. In Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you.
I don't know what to say. God is so good. I'll start here. George is a very humble man. He didn't really give too much detail of the pain that he endured and the 2.5 years of rehabilitation from moving one finger to, as you see him today, riding bikes in the mountains and going to the gym every day. He's a very humble man. He talks of three messengers. I don't know if all of you got what he actually meant. There were three angels, men in light, that came and sat on the end of his bed. Sorry, George, for explaining, but three men of light came to the end of his bed and said to him, "Do not fear." That's all they said. They gave him that glimmer of hope. They spoke a word over him. And they gave him a physical hope too, that one finger. That's all he needed, was hope. And that's what Jesus Christ does for us. He gives us hope in a dark and broken world. And it's been my privilege to actually walk a road with George over the last, it's been a while now, several months. And just to see what God has done in his life is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And I just thank you, Lord, that all the glory and honor goes to you. We have one more testimony this morning. I'm going to ask Ronell to please come. Thank you.
Thank you. Morning, everybody. I have a long testimony, but I'm going to try and keep it short. So please bear with me. I know everybody wants to leave quite early, not that late. My testimony starts at a young age. I had a dad that was an alcoholic and very abusive. He had, you know, three dads that was very abusive to his mom. So he was very abusive to my mom and to us. And when I was 12, I committed my life to the Lord. I was always loving the Lord, always longing for Him, writing poems, hiding in my room. And so I gave my life to the Lord at the age of 12 at a Methodist camp. And at the age of 13, my dad started abusing me. And I was a child that was not supposed to know about... I wasn't going to cry. I wasn't a child that was supposed to know about these things. And I was hiding. Hiding from my mom, hiding from everyone, hiding at school. Hating myself, hating my life, hating everything. Doing very bad at school. And I could never tell my mom. I always felt I was scared of breaking up my family. As I grew older, I was scared. I had no way to get out. I was very scared. And I couldn't deal with life very easily. And I felt the Lord wasn't there to protect me. And so I shut off. I went to school. And I shut off. I didn't remember. And it happened again and I would shut off. So I was living a lie. I was just not me. I couldn't find myself anymore. And so eventually I left school. I went to work in Wingfield. I saw opportunity to get out. I joined the Navy to get out of house, to get out of my home. So joining the Navy... I did everything. I was very rebellious. I was doing all the things I never wanted to do because I just wanted to be a good girl. You know, because I loved the Lord, but I couldn't find Him. I couldn't find myself. So I went bad. Did a lot of bad things. Eventually, got married for the wrong reasons. And the marriage broke up. And at the age of 30, I came back home, shattered, broken, to a broken marriage at home. My mom and dad was battling with their marriage and fighting and drinking, and oh, things were worse than ever before because my mom was also now drinking. So I came back to that and tried to pick up pieces, but I was like broken, broke everything. And then I was keeping five jobs at a time to keep busy. I was weighing only 53 kilograms and was fainting all the time. And nobody knew I was fainting all the time. And I couldn't eat. I could only eat bananas. And I'm still just I just love bananas. That saved my life. But I'm a banana-holic. And I just ate bananas. And praise the Lord, that kept me going. And I was... doing a lot of jobs. It was incredible. So I was working in the Navy, and at that time, I also made earrings I went to work at St. Elmo's in the evenings, and I made earrings over weekends at the Goodwood Showgrounds, and boy, I did work. I worked hard, and also I was in so much debt because of my marriage. You know, it was just a mess up marriage that I never considered the Lord, because I was so detached from Him after all that happened. And So I made a mess. But when I was at the showgrounds making earrings, one lady wanted to get baptized, and someone else asked me to take this lady to Fishhook, to her house, because she didn't want to be baptized in front of a church kind of thing. So I took her to this house in Fishhook. And that night I recommitted my life to the Lord, and I got baptized that night, and I got baptized in the Spirit. And that was the beginning of 2 years of inner healing ministry. That was a deliverance ministry. And many things happened in that time. But there were also many things I never got delivered of, and many things that was gone. The Lord gave me amnesia. He threw the key away to find it later. I couldn't remember anything about what happened to me as a kid, as all those growing up years, my teenage years. It was gone. It was really, really gone. Gone, gone, gone. So anyway, even in my years of being there at that deliverance ministry, that part of my life never surfaced, but all my relationship things and different things, but not that part of the abuse. And so, I mean, I kind of forgave and did this and did that, but I was still, I was very broken. Always, you know, then whenever I went to a church, I would always go forward for prayer, always forward for prayer. There are many that will know, they always go forward for prayer for the same thing, or always go forward for prayer, never really healed, never really healed. There's always this going forward for prayer kind of thing. But anyway, so that was me. Now I'd given my life, recommitted my life to the Lord, and so, but I was still like just like a bruised reed and shattered. And then I met Robin at this this fellowship that I went to. That was the inner healing ministry. They also had a home church on Saturday evenings, so I met him, and he gave me a prophecy, and I thought, "Geez, this guy is a false prophet." he gave me a prophecy. You're going to Jerusalem. I thought, "Geez, like, oh, where does this guy come from? Like, Mars, you know? Like, everything is going on down in my life, and my mom, my dad had died. His liver just stopped functioning one day, and he died, just like that." My mom was now hectically alcoholic and going through a lot, and I had her and I had all my things to deal with, and then I got retrenched. First thing that happened was I got retrenched, and by that time now I'd been growing in the Lord now, and now I'm also like ministering to other people that are also going through difficulties. Although I'm where I am, I felt it helped to minister to others, and that will help me again. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And my own words that the Lord puts in my mouth comes back into my ears and heals my heart by basically through His words in my mouth to broken women and children. And so that was happening. The first thing, I got retrenched, and I praised the Lord that I got retrenched. And then the next thing was that the last thing I did still was my car that got paid up. But the only thing, I lost everything, but I just kept the car, and I felt that was for His purposes, which was. But that's another story. So the car was paid up. And then the next thing is, on the 1st September, I was going to take my mom to Alcoholics Victorious. Alcoholics Anonymous is non-Christian, but Alcoholics Victorious is for Christians. And so I asked my mom to go with me. And that morning she woke up and she never drank again. And after that, every year on the 1st September, we would go and celebrate at the Spur for her sobriety. So she stopped drinking. And that was great. That was a great deliverance. So then my mom started getting healed as well. And then, I mean, I got this job then with DeFi at the time. And then they said retrenchment. By that time, I wanted to go into full-time ministry. So I wrote a letter thanking my boss for retrenching me. I knew he was going to call me in. I knew he was going to call me in to be retrenched, to tell me. And the woman in front of me came out, and she's like, and he came, he's standing. And Now I'm standing there and he's like all shaking and he's feeling very sorry. So I said, thank you, thank you. And I kissed him on his cheek. I said, thank you, I'm going. Woo! I'm so happy about that. And so he gave me my letter and I gave him my letter to thank him. So that was a great thing. I thought, now, okay, right now I'm starting to work with street children or what again, and I'm going to help people, but nothing really worked. And then I was in a cell group. And in the cell group, someone said, it was also a house church, someone was talking and saying, we must pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because Jerusalem's going. And I heard this clear, loud voice, now you must go to Jerusalem. And there was no one behind me. It was so clear. And at home was my Alexander Forbes pension check from DeFi. And but when I went home, that check was gone. It was like a gone. Wow, it was amazing. I couldn't understand it. But the upshot of it was that the Lord wanted me to trust Him and not to trust the money. So in a roundabout way, Alexander Forbes then paid it back in. I got a great ticket and I went to work in Jerusalem and live in Jerusalem just with my backpack, not knowing anybody. The Lord just went with me and there I was. And I ended up in Enkhaim, which is the birthplace of John the Baptist, and that is a home for disabled children and it's a care, it's like a home, it's a orphanage as well, because Jewish people, they discard their disabled children. But in the meantime, my best friend, whom I had met, Robin, he wanted to marry me, he was like in love with me, and I was in love with him, and because I had been married before and he had been married before, we thought, no, we can't do this. We kept putting our relationship on the altar. So going to Jerusalem was nice and far away from him and far away from all those problems as well. So I thought, that's good. It's now, all of that is solved now. I'm far away, so now we haven't got these challenges anymore. So we put it on the altar. Yeah, and so then I was in Jerusalem and working with these children, and then I received this fax at the Christian Embassy, International Christian Embassy, my best friend asking me to come back to marry him. And so I decided I'm going to just wait on the Lord. I'm not going to just go back to South Africa. Robin wanted me to marry him and he sent me this fax. But so I stayed and I worked there for quite a while. But he was also involved with disabled people because his own twin brother got polio when they were both 7, and so he was very much involved with disabled people. And I was always involved with Cheshire Homes because my heart was broken. I was broken, so I always related to broken bodies, broken people, always relating to different people, and you know, the disabled people. And so they were my friends. I lived in Sandrift. Cheshire Home was in Sandrift. They always came to my place. I went to them. My dad would bribe for us. So when I met Robin, he was already involved with disabled people in Cold Bay, in New Kings in Cold Bay, and his twin brother too was in. So now I'm working in Jerusalem in this home for disabled children, my love, children and disabled people. So that was great. But so then I knew it was time for me to come back. Everything was finished. Everything was done. I'm cutting a long story short. So I bought Robin's ring there in Ben Yehuda Road, came back and I married him. And we were both in full-time ministry. And I've still cut off everything from a child. There's still like nothing there. It's gone. And then just one day, I couldn't sleep the whole night. I could not sleep. I was awake the whole night. And all these thoughts came back and all these visions and all these things. And the anxiety and the fears and the everything and the anger. And then I realized all my relationships, my broken relationships, was my baggage and all this stuff I was going through. And then I remembered all these things, and we were driving towards southern suburbs, and I just hit my knee so hard with my fist, like in the car. I hit it so hard. Robin said, what's wrong? And then it just came bubbling out, all these things that had happened to me. And it took a long time for complete healing from those things, different things. And I say always that it's like peeling an onion. You know, there's different times of healing. But the Lord has started a great, 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 great deliverance. I was always justifying. I was always insecure. I'm much less insecure now than what I was. And the Lord is really doing a great, 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 great work in me. And I'm so much stronger. I asked Him to make me hard so that I don't get hurt. But He never made me hard. He made me stronger. He healed me. He's healing me all the time, all the time. And you know that I still used to come forward for prayer so much, so much. And I've got a friend, Rijani, and she's ministered to people in this church as well, Rijani. And she does spirit healing, spirit deliverance, spirit crushed, spirit deliverance. And I went for a very long time to her and a lot of very deep things, and she just confronts my spirit, my spirit, my spirit, and my spirit. And I praise the Lord that the Lord healed my spirit. There's still things that happens, like other difficult kind of, you know, circumstances, and then you kind of, but I praise the Lord that I'm looking forward, I'm going forward, and not back anymore. I'm not looking back anymore. I'm not, woe, not there anymore, like looking at those things. And there was another thing that was a very difficult thing for me, is that I wanted to have children, and I love children. I never fell pregnant. I never fell pregnant, and I was very upset and very angry. And I repented of so many things, of everything I could think of that was like holding me, keeping me from falling pregnant. And I never fell pregnant, but I had such a love for children, and especially the farm children, Bosco children. They are my little, I just love them so much. And then I had to have a hysterectomy. And then the obsession of baby went off my brain. Like, I was so delivered of this obsession of wanting to have this baby, because the Lord then gave me, He showed me all these children. I had all the love I could give them to guide the preteens into their teenage years. Children that have been abused by their dads, girls, that I could just love them and hug them. And, you know, you can listen to a testimony on a tape and you can't minister to others. But if you've experienced what you've experienced, and the Lord is so faithful to deliver and to make us whole. And those children, they are my children. And the Lord, on my 50th birthday, I always wanted a little girl. Always said I will call her Abigail. And then the Lord gave me my little Jack Russell, that she fulfills all my maternal need. And there's the song that I want to play, because we all have broken lives that the Lord is making whole. Shattered dreams. Dreams that we had that does not materialize. Materializes get shattered. But this song, for me, is the ultimate. And I think it just brings Leonard's testimony and George's testimony and everyone in this room, your testimony and your life. This will just sum it up, and just listen to it. And if there's anybody here that would like to really come forward and to be ministered to while this song is playing. I don't know, Yanni, were you going to say this? Please. I want to really thank the Lord so much, and thank you all for listening.
I'm not really sure of the song that Renal's playing, so we're just going to trust that it's, I know it's led by the Lord. I'm just going to ask everyone to stand. And while we just stand, if you can just close your eyes. And while the song is playing, if there's anything that has touched your heart this morning, I know we've had some very varied personal stories of how God has touched people's lives. I'm going to ask you to come up. Just walk forward while the song is playing, and we'd love to pray with you, and we'd like to minister to you. I'm going to have people up here like George and Renelle and Sunette and everyone who actually shared, and Leonard too. everyone has shared, just that they will be up here. And if you are looking for that hope that George spoke about, or you're feeling fearful, and Leonard's testimony may have touched you, we're all going to be up here. And please don't leave without coming. Just let us pray for you. Let us just bring things before God and just bless you.